excited this morning to have our senior pastor, Pastor Kenneth Kwan, to come bring the message. And let's give him a hand.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I would like to share with you my journey in northern Iraq today, but also pointing you to a journey that God is going to lead VOH to reach. Then let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you so much for your presence and also leading us into this salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you also give us the honor and privilege to serve you according to your heart and to reach out to many different groups of people around the world, both locally and globally. We just ask for the presence of God continues to hover over the northern Iraq, that our team would be fruitfully and effectively serving the local people. At this moment, we just ask for your presence to be intensified in this room. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the Organization of Interchurches Missions, we call Habibi International, we sent three teams to northern Iraq from September 28th to November 12th. So during this season, actually there was a pretty tense political issue occurring in those regions. Especially in Kurdistan, they entered into a referendum claiming to be independent from Iraq. So Iraq government gave them the pressure, and also the northern neighbor, Turkey, threatened to cast military actions toward Kurdistan too. So it's right at this kind of season that we enter into this region. After 11 days, we ministered there, and then we left the place. We took the airplane, left that airport. The major two cities that we ministered to, called Duhok and Zaho. And it's very close to the northern border line of Iraq. So this time, since our flight was canceled from Istanbul to the northern Iraq, so the only way out was to go through Sarnak. But later on, we find out that all the ticket was already sold out. So we need to, after we cross the borderline in our return back to Istanbul, we went to Mardin and then flew back there. Now you know that in the Bible, New Testament, especially the book of Acts, mentioned about the work of God extended from Jerusalem all the way, so-called, to the end of the world. And Turkey happened to be a very significant country or region that the Lord have done great work there. And you can see that the southern region or central part, and even on the western tip, there are seven churches that mentioned in the book of Revelation. So there was a lot of divine activities occurred in that, on that place. While I was in the airplane flying back to Istanbul, I was reading the book of Isaiah. At that moment, the Lord just quickened my spirit and gave me the impression. And basically he's saying that now you're flying over a land that I used to have great work on the local people, as well as through these local people extending the mission work globally. And so the impression came to me was that don't just read the book of Acts, but be the Acts of Christ. So this become the title of my sermon today. I have an opportunity and went to visit those seven churches, so-called, those locations. You know, obviously, the names are different now compared with the biblical names. So you can see, I just want to give you an idea about that. So if I plot all these seven cities on a map of Greater Los Angeles City, you can see that, let me see, where do we can see, all right. Now, this, I have some difficulty. Okay, now this is walnut with a blue arrow, and then the orange one on the eastern side is Palm Spring. The green arrows on the southern side would be the San Diego, and then also Catalina Island is on the purple color. Now, the island of Patmos was the place that where the book of Revelation was written. All right? Now, the... All right. So, change all this name back to the biblical names of those regions. Now, you can see... do I have some problem here? Or change the battery? Okay. So basically, you can tell that all these seven cities cover the region from the northern part of like today's, if Ephesus would be located at the center of LA downtown. Then, let's say Pergamos is as far as like Baskerville, or like Smyrna is Magic Mountain. Philadelphia is very close to Big Bear Lake, and then Laodicea would be as far as the Palm Springs. So we are not talking about seven churches just like nearby, like Foothill or like Pomona or West LA. No, it's a pretty large regions. But the sad part was that those churches, there was a time that have a tremendous work of God operating and benefit so many people, and even recorded in the Bible. However, it no longer exists nowadays. As a matter of fact, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, all these churches already disappeared and no longer have a function. I began to ask the question, why? What happened? What went wrong? Would it be the same thing happened to the churches in the United States after a few hundred years if the Lord hasn't returned? Or what happened to VOH? If we are not careful, wouldn't it be just like falling into the similar situation? So when I visit those places, like Laodicea, you know, a lot of marble or whatever columns still stand. Now, that is actually the place, according to the archaeologists, that was the mall, just like you're talking about Prudential Mall or the Mesa Mall, something like that. It's a huge place. Or like a main street in Ephesus. Or like, do I need to change? Okay, just keep. All right, Ephesus. You know, just like the freeway 5 leading you to the Angel Stadium. It's basically the setting will be like that. So a lot of buildings left with these stones. I think I need to, someone help me to, okay, so that is the so-called the arena or auditorium. Next one, please. And, or change the battery. Okay, now this is the gymnasiums. In this city, the gymnasium is only partially left, but according to the study archaeologists, they find out at that time, no female was allowed to enter into the place, only male. And then they all naked. So they just did exercise and doing the fitness. And no wonder that a lot of time that homosexuality would occur in this kind of a place or location. Okay, try again. All right, so this is in the city of Philadelphia. And that was, I was told that this was the church, but that was not the original church, but that was a church that was built around fourth century. However, it's just like a small building. And later on, after the Muslim came, and they built a mosque. Wherever there was a so-called church a place left behind, the Muslim, the local government, always built a mosque, signifying that they have already conquered the Christianity. So it is a very sad situation. So when I sat there, I kept thinking, what's wrong? And the Lord reminded me about one person, about John, Apostle John, because he was the one that He became the first disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry started, he was there. This according to John chapter 1, verse 35 to 37. He used to be the disciples of John the Baptist, but later on he followed Jesus. He followed Jesus all the way to the cross. In John chapter 19, he mentioned about that he was there, he was the beloved disciple, and staying there with the Lord until his last breath. Wow, that was great. Not only that, 60 years, roughly 60 years after the ascendance of Jesus back to the heaven, John was the last apostle, passed away. But before that, he gained a visitation from the Lord and wrote the book of Revelation. In other words, if we want to find out the key, the secret of staying to be true and truthful and faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, this man holds the key because he went through all this, walked through all this persecution and difficulty and still remained faithful to the Lord. If a church able to live out a lifestyle like what Apostle Paul had, then we have a great chance to survive without falling, being a fallen church, just like those seven churches, or just like other churches in the land of Turkey. So I went back to the Revelation, opened up this second chapter, and remeditate this passage. Of course, that is a passage that recorded by John, talking about Jesus' word coming towards the church in Ephesus, saying that I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance. All this is a good thing. And you're also not growing weary, never get burned out. Wow, that's wonderful. But the issue was that they lost the first love. And then once they lost the first love, even though they could continue to serve the Lord and did all this kind of hard work, but the motive was no longer the same as the beginning, that they come out from that kind of passion for Jesus. But it would come out from, could be obligation, or just like religious practice, or even worse than that, wrong motive, like a competition. So this means that keeping the first love was the key of keeping a church alive. If a church, regardless of whether the church having difficulty, persecution from the government, or financial hardship, or whatever issue, as long as the church can maintain keeping the first love, the church can stay and last until the day the Lord Jesus Christ comes. But what does it mean about the first love? You all heard about that. Well, this time, while I was meditating on that, it's about loving Jesus consistently. This means it's not just like yesterday I loved Jesus, but today I feel so down, I discouraged. And even tomorrow, I just want to drop out from the church. No, it's a consistent, it's constantly maintaining that kind of temperature, 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and also continuously. I cannot guarantee that I love Jesus 10 years later, but at least I can keep myself to love Jesus today. And hopefully, the pattern will continue. Tomorrow, I will love Jesus same as today, and then day after tomorrow, I repeat the same mentality and passion. Then 10 years later, I know that I'm on the right track. 10 years later, hopefully by God's grace, I can still love the Lord Jesus Christ, and VOH can still love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's called keeping your first love and maintaining a church that's so vibrant and vibrant in sharing the gospel and functioning as the body of Christ. You know, our love to or with Jesus is always in the present tense. Why? Because Jesus Christ, he called himself Great I Am. So I will say that Jesus is a verb. Jesus is always I am. Just like in the book of Exodus, it's talking about chapter 3, talking about the name of Yahweh was I am, meaning that from the eternal past until present, all the way pointing to the eternal future, God is said that I'm always in a present tense. That's why when you want to have a relationship with me, it's a present tense. Don't talk to me just like, oh God, thank you so much. 2 years ago, you were so great to me. I love you 2 years ago. But today,
you know that it's very difficult. I lost my job, and I lost my girlfriend or boyfriend. Oh, you know that. And I no longer love you that much. Well, sooner or later, even though you maintain the religious practice for 10 years, 20 years later, it will catch up with you. You will lose your passion for Jesus. And if a church continues to maintain, whoa, we have thousands of people, but you will have lost the first love, maybe 20 years later, we will become another mission, another big building, but without people staying to worship the Lord alive. Well, since I meditate on the life of John, the Lord just appointed me to study the books that he read. He wrote, especially in his last decades of his life. So there was a book of John. Okay, no one can be certain that when those books was written, but let's say from the AD 85 to 95. That book, the theme of the book is Jesus is the seventh I Am. Well, afterward, he wrote the 1st John, 2nd John, and 3rd John. The theme of those books was acting out the seventh I Am. So John, the book of John is more objective truth. But the 1st John, 2nd John, and 3rd John, more subjective experience, testimony that the great I Am, Jesus Christ, live in me and through me and become the testimony. If we maintain this kind of life pattern, and then the book of Revelation, you're talking, well, probably written in the last book of the whole New Testament, 95 to 96, and then it's talking about then we are able to keep our first love with Jesus. So let me put up my thesis statement. Loving Jesus consistently and continuously through living out the great I Am privately and corporately. And I believe that I want to share with you about what VOA is supposed to be, a church that's supposed to be living out the great I Am, the bread of life. Now, what does it mean? Jesus talked about that in the book of John. And then chapter 6, he said that, let's read it together. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. For one bishop called Thomas, he said that by the bread of life, Jesus meant the teaching that he is, by what he says, how he acts, and in fact, who he is, the word of God. Jesus is the word spoken by God, who revealed God to us in the most complete way possible. That we come to know God when we hear this word, who is Jesus. Accept that word into our mind, our heart, our spirit, and let that word begin to change us. Amen. But Jesus also said it in chapter 4. And then he's talking about chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. In other words, what Jesus pointed the people to was, I am the bread. Basically, he said, I'm the one, the object that have the absolute necessity for your life. He can point to the eternal life, but also can point to the word of God, word of Christ, because all of this word of Christ that we can believe in him, and then we gain the eternal life. But here, what I want to point out to you is that Jesus said that I get satisfaction, even though I'm hungry physically, but my spirit have a satisfaction when I accomplish the will of my Heavenly Father. So the word of God is no longer just a written word. I'm not talking about just a written word. But I'm talking about more than that. It's out of this word. You know about the heart of the Father, his desire, and then we're going to fulfill his desire. Then you will find the joy in your heart. Because when our Heavenly Father is happy, he will release his happiness into our spirit. That's called the joy of the Lord in me. Now that's what I'm talking about. So VOH, we want to be a church that live out the spirit or the heart of the Father. Not only just like the word itself, but it's more than that. The word that capture the heart of the Father in this present tense, at this moment, 2017, let's say September to November. What does God, you Father, you want VH to do? Let us do it. Then we are become the doer of the word. In the process of doing that, then we're actually living up the great I am inside of us, and the great I am through us will minister to other people. Then in this case, the love of Christ will have the exchange with us. This means that he will love us, he loves us, and we love him. And this kind of dynamic will give us the energy to continue to reach out to people, even far, far away, but to those people whom we never met before. You know, the other day I said, and I was in this room, I took this picture. Because a lot of time for Christians, we said that we need faith, we need faith, and we want more faith. But what we become? End up become a spiritual monster? What about the biblical knowledge? And more, a deeper biblical knowledge. But what for? What Jesus Christ is asking for us? What the Heavenly Father wants Village to be? And even other churches, those churches, that the seven churches have, is that to have a faith plus obedient acts. Don't just read the book of Acts, but be the act of Christ. When you do this, then the first love, this love of Jesus, a love to Jesus, a love from Jesus, will be in a present tense, and then will keep the church alive. You know, don't just stay inside those four walls of this building. But look at that picture. The sunshine shine in. This means that there's a bigger world outside, a lot of happening that God calls to go out. We are not just following the world news. We are spreading the good news to the world. That is what the calling of God that plays in our heart. And this is exactly what the major motivation that drives me to go to Iraq again. You know, I'm not a missionary. You know, I just want Chinese food. Wherever I go, I'm just looking for Chinese food. Because I know that when I see Chinese food, this means there's a Chinese restaurant. But I couldn't find one there. I'm not a missionary. But when the passion of God comes upon you, then suddenly you forget about what kind of food you eat. Because you have the satisfaction when you see you're able to reach out to people and they're crying and they are so happy because of our ministry. You feel, I'm so satisfied. This time we have the opportunity to reach out to Dr. Paul. He's one of our main targets that we want to serve. I want to introduce you to Dr. Paul. You know, he's 20 years. He became a Christian in the early years, and then by the time 17 years old, he went to a Bible college. By the time 20 years old, he went to Africa as a missionary. 26, he was in Florida. By the time 41 years old, he served in the White House. And then he served under two presidents. One is the Bush administration, and another one is the Clinton administration. And also he went to, he was a professor and a research dean in Texas, Washington, D.C., and Kentucky, also University of Hawaii. So in age 54, he decided to go to Iraq because that time there was an opening, American University of Kurdistan. He was in the board, and later on, even he was named to be the president. But at that moment, he no longer wanted to do that. Is that enough? God trained me up, and with all this experience, I want to serve these people. So he had been there for 9 years and waiting for the 10th year so that he can get a citizenship from the Iraq. He wanted to be an Iraq citizen so that he can serve these people in the rest of his life. Now, this man is the man that living out that Jesus Christ, you are the bread of life. And that Jesus, you as a missionary, that's why I want to be a missionary there too. The day I went there, I arrived there, and then I hand him some of the offerings that our church collect. And then he was so touched because he said that, Kenneth, you know that? Tomorrow, I'm going to run out of money. And thank God that you're here today. Your group bringing the money. Actually, that was not the first time. That was the third. Third time. Because the first time, that suddenly his generator just broken. I mean, small and old generator, used generator. So he went to the mountain to pray for 2 days. And then by the time he came down, we arrived at his village. That was the first time we met each other. And then before that, I shared with you before several months ago. And then I just have an impression that we need to donate to do the money to do something other than the food and maybe the generator. And then by the time we met him, and then he said our generator broke down. And then all the work stopped. And then we no longer would do anything. And we gave him the $6,000, and he purchased this generator. And that generator was installed in front yard of his gate. Well, of course, he continued to serve with a medical team. And then there's some medical team, and then also dentals on the back of the room. And then in different location, these are the medical team serving there, all right? Now, we also went to another place in Asaho, and then worked with Pastor Fadil. I feel that the Lord just caused to become his help. And then so I went back to the same site. That in a promotion video the last April, I mentioned about that. It's very sad to see these people left, as I don't know when they can receive another help and load of food from the outsiders. But this time, I have the honor and privilege representing VOH to bring the food back to them. Now, at least I represent VOH to bring back the resources, even to this camp. We are back to help them. We are not the talkers. We are the doers of the word of God. At that moment, we become the I am the bread of life. Yet, physically, the bread of life to them. Because even one back of this, they have every family average of 10 children. And then they can feed them for 2 weeks now. Used to have it, $30 can feed them for 1 month, but now it's 2 weeks. Now, I don't know how could they survive in between the time. I asked that. They said that not many outsiders to help. After you guys left, there's one time people from Germany came to help us. Well, what about the rest of the time? I don't know. I didn't even want to think about that because I was so sad. I want to cry. Well, we gave them the stuff. And now also took a picture with this man. One of the person came to the clinic. One of the person received this the food. But you could see from his eye, there was no hope. From his lips, there was no smile. And that was so sad. Look at the children. Same thing. For the adults, no job. For the student, no future, even you graduate. And then for the kids, no food. You know, that's why more than just we living out that Jesus as the bread of life, or we just do the work of God, capture the heart of the Father to go there, we also need to bring forth another thing. Jesus said that I'm the light of the world. By the way, when I arrived there, I have a doubt. There was a moment I have a doubt. Because we have the light up one at your carnival. It's a huge event. I thought of myself, why did I come here at this moment when the church, VOH, really, especially the Chinese congregation, really need me? Is it worth it? And then the Lord impressed me. But this is the heart of the Father. Suddenly at that moment, I said that it's worth it. Because we have been doing something on behalf of the VOH. I, representing this body of Christ, to bring the love to the local people. Especially when Dr. Pa said that, thank God that you are here. Tomorrow I run out of money. Thank God that you guys are here. Why many, many other foreigners running out of our country because of the political situation, instability? You guys running in. I don't know how you come in, but you guys running in to come to help us. I was so touched. I felt like I was an angel at that moment to help this person. You know, at the same time, when I lay giving away the food, I have the thought, very strange thought, God, why me? Why I'm standing on this side to give it the food? Instead, I could be on this side receiving the food, just in Houston, because of the flooding. Suddenly, one day, you are living in a great mansion. The other day, you will become someone that needs the help from others. Why me that I could have the honor and privilege on behalf of a church that can give away the food to other people? This is the heart of the Father. Because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The one who come to fulfill the heart of the Father. And actually, we have been doing this. I'm so grateful that we have this privilege and honor to go there. But you still, no matter how much food that you give to the people, they still lose the hope because they have no job, no school, no future, nothing. That's why they need the gospel. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Chapter 8, verse 12, John, the book of John. Then Jesus, let's read together. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, you know, you all know that the light of the world signifying a gospel. We are not talking about just condemning people and say that. You are a sinner. No, this is not a gospel. We should say that. I used to be there. I was really bad shape, no hope, and feel the vanity of the spirit, no life, even though I may possess a lot of things. But because I met Jesus, he is the light of the world. That's why now I change. There's hope. That's why you can hope too. That's why I come here. I just want to bring you up here. Yeah, come to Jesus. Let's have hope together. Now that's called the gospel. That's called Jesus is the light of the world. It's the people from hopelessness into hopefulness. When we bring hope to people, we are not only seeing that, reading the word, the Bible saying that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Actually, we are living out this great I am and bring this great I am to the people and to the world, to the needy. And that's exactly what God called VH to do. When a church continues to do things like that, you will never lose the first love. And the church will never have this so-called lampstand be removed. Just like those seven churches. Except it happened to them. Because Jesus removed the lampstand from them. That's why those churches disappear. No longer church. And only a few stones or columns standing there. The whole place was overwhelmed by the Muslim. But now, here, if you're not careful, the United States, the church, the American church, can experience the same thing, same end result, same consequence, if we lose the first love. But thank God, when we continue to bring forth this gospel of hope to people, that would be just like this happened. You know, this man just took a picture with this kid, and there was a picture. You know, he was sad. Compared with our American children with a smiling face, he was sad, sitting there, but there was a light behind him. There's a hope there. I want to share with you, this man, I have to block in the face, you know that I need to protect them. When we first arrived in Istanbul, that night, this man called us, because he used to be our translator. And then he said that, I follow some smuggler, and they get out, our whole family, from northern Iraq to Istanbul. And we pay him a lot of money, and then want to cross the borderline, and then go to flee to Greece. But a few days ago, one boat sank and many people died. Now, you read in the news, if you remember that. So we stopped everything. And tonight we have another schedule, but just cancel. That's why I want to meet you guys. I heard about it. You arrived in Istanbul tonight. So I want to meet you. He met us in the restaurant. We said, hey, you want to come over to our hotel? Brought him there and asked him, do you want to become a Christian? Yeah, I want to. This is the first Yazidi person that we ever can lead them to Christ in front of us. Do you want to get baptized tonight? Yeah, I want to. This is just like in the book of Acts that happened to Lydia, the first lady, the first woman that get saved and get baptized, and then by Paul in the city of Philippi. Whoa, just like something like that happened. And I have the privilege and honor to baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We want to bring in the hope to them. Now, this was another translator, and then she became Christian now. And then there was the three sisters who lost their father and uncle in front of their site, 500 meters away. They got shot and killed by the ISIS. I talked to you several months ago. And then the mother was tearless. They were so sad. They were so scary. That woman losing her husband and then ended into a very tough situation with no tears because already gone. The tears are already gone. Okay, they say goodbye to us last time. There was a few months ago. They start to feel the love and comfort from these Asian strangers. But this time, they took taxi to come to us. Now, they was really poor. But still, they still want you to pay the taxi to come to visit us, to meet us in a site that I show you that in the afternoon time, we deliver the food there. Why? Because the same lady who hugged these two girls, say they hug again, I'm standing behind them, just giving thanks to God. Why? Because these three sisters newly became Christian and was baptized in the church of Pastor Fadil. Whoa! Hey, let's give the Lord a hand. And give them a hand. There was another group of so-called Yazidi people that became Christian after 2-3 years of hard labor. This trip, we saw more and more people become Christian. Wow! They see the light of the world. But when we got there, we have the honor to reap the harvest. This lady lost her husband and then son and her daughter to ISIS. three of them were captured by them. Now, after we prayed for her a few months ago, this time when we came back, she find the doctor came back. But you will see, she came back, but the inside, the her soul was so hollow. I mean, the body was so hollow. Just like no soul inside because of what her brain was. And also so much hurt in the past many, I don't know, couple years of captivity. But see here, began to smile when we take care of her, when we show love to her, and we do the medical service. Now, also, this Mike did a wonderful job there. And then here, this lady in a circle, I was told by Pastor Terry that this lady shared her broken story that she was raped hundreds of times. And then that's why she joined the women fighters against the ISIS. But later on, Dr. Paul, I mean, have an opportunity to meet her and ask, hey, you don't need to be to fighting in the army. Come to join us here. I give you a job. So she was sort of like a tomboy type. And then she started to work and then work for Mike. And I do this painting. And then, you know, our team have an opportunity to meet, to spend time alone with her. And then the next day, Mike brought her to Christ. Isn't it a wonderful story? This was the light of the world to her world. Now I understand there's still a lot of brokenness, a lot of healing, but at least this is a good beginning. Amen! Don't you think that what we have been doing is meaningful? We are not just believing in the great I am the light, but we've also seeing that we bring the light, we live out the light of the world. Well, of course, when I come back, I still need to do the light of honor. This is what happened in light of honors. But I'm happy to see the sunshine and then shining on these people. And many people come and then families arrived. And then this was the first, maybe a lot of them, they said that they were the first time comer. They didn't even know there's a church. When they do not know about there's an existence of a church, how can a church can function to reach out to them? So thank God for this first step. And then, of course, a lot of them still the first generation. Or they brought their kids there. We see not many Asian Americans was there. And hopefully the next year we can do a better job. And so hopefully next year we'll see a lot of people like this. Number three, Jesus says, I'm the gate and I'm the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 7 to 16. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, I'm the door or gate of the sheep. This means that when we enter through him, only through him, we will find eternal life. But more than that, Jesus promised that abundant life. Have life and abundant life is two different things. You can live until 80 years old or 100 years old, but you are not happy. So, but if you are joyful, you are happy, and you find your life is meaningful and fruitful, and until you reach 100 years old, that's totally different. This is called abundant life. Jesus said that I'm a good shepherd. That's why I can help you to live your life. If you're willing to let me to shape your life and then guide you and nurture you, you are able to experience abundance. Not only that, I have other sheep, other flock that will join. This means that when you live abundant life or in this process of being enriched, you have a responsibility. You just not bringing your stuff, the blessing to yourself for enjoyment of a group, like a lot of cliques inside the church. Oh, we just enjoy ourselves. No! When we get strong and healthy, the whole purpose is for us so that we can be strengthened to go out to help those weak, those are outcasts, and those are poor. That's the calling. So we will become a resource center. You know, the day I went there, I was very sad. Actually, that was not a pleasant time when I visited those sites. Because I felt the defeat of the Christian church. By the time I got to Sardis, you see the column was so tall. That's for a temple. You can see how gorgeous those temple buildings used to be. Not the one when a person standing there is just like a little ant. And then but the church over there, according to the book of Revelation, it talked about the church. That was a rich place, but the church was so worried. And then just like a dead church in the sight of Jesus Christ. And at that time, there was a dog came by. I look at the dog. The dog was so skinny, skinnier than I was. I am. And they're so skinny. And I know that the dog was so hungry. So no one carried a bag at that day. Only me. I carry a bag. So I take out my bag and I find I have some cookies. It's just prepared for myself in case I'm hungry. I give my cookie to the dog. I tell you, the dog came but fell because I have no strength to keep standing, but keep eating, like that. I was so sad. I tell you, that was the first time I see a hungry dog, as hungry as that. And then I tried to take out to my bag, is anything else? And there was a little pack of water. I don't even know what that was. I make sure there was no chocolate because they were here. So I gave it to the dog. And after that, I thought that the dog was very thirsty. So I poured on the floor some tea. Later I found out the dog doesn't drink tea. So what else? I have a chicken essence. You know, that is a very expensive thing. And then not much. So I just gave it to the dog. And the dog drank that. And then almost took the glass bottle too. Please don't tell Mrs. Kwan about that. Because that was very expensive. Mrs. Kwan will scold me if she know that. And after that, there was the turn. I pray. I led the prayer. Standing by the gate, I cry. I cry. I say, God, thank you for sending a dog to me or to us. This is a city supposed to be very rich. And the church have an honor and privilege to be very prosperous so that we reach out to the community and become a strong church, become an area church, to bless other churches nearby or help to become the resource center to help others. But the church failed to do that because there's a dead church in the sight of Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us or this group of people that we come from America, that we have the material richness, but help us so that we can become a resource center that united even with other vineyard churches in our area or other churches, the immigrant churches in our area, that we can bring forth more blessing and more resources to these people. Thank God for speaking to us through this talk. We are living in limit, but God, multiply just like 5 loaves and 2 fish. That was my prayer. And God called us to be a help to Dr. Paul and also Pastor Fadil. I just want to show you how we can help him. That was a few months ago when I went there. You know, the top part was not done. That was a safe house. Now the safe house was finished. Not finished. Almost done. So that was a safe house project. And then with the balcony. And then Dr. Paul said that, I don't want to build a cheap shop because he was a great architect. He designed everything and helped to build that too. He said that I want to give this ex-sex slave a feeling of dignity. I want them to regain the dignity in the process of healing so that they will have a balcony when they get in the room. 4 girls share one room. There will be a balcony facing the sun, the east, that they will feel that they are honored, that they are treasured by people. And then also help them on the downstairs. They can cook the soup. So that they do not want these people to feel like that they are just being shown mercy. No, let them feel like that I have a job to do. Give them a job to make soup, make a soup kitchen, so that they can feed the poor, the refugees down there. 6,000 people. 6,000 people. Wow, I think this is very meaningful. Of course, we raise funds for the sewing machine too, so that they can sew cloth. Now, so that was a few months ago that I took this a picture. So building a safe house for 28 previous sex slaves who have recently escaped from ISIS. And this would be a building, that a classroom, the housing, education, doing education and Bible teaching. Now, so there's a computer class that the team two have done. And Dr. Paul also raised a few sons, adopted into it. There was a picture 9 years ago, this guy. And 9 years later, raising disciples for Christ, and they have a house church there. Number three is a food bank and cleaning project. The agriculture, they try to build a plant of some vegetable and also have the fish and then dig the place and become a pond. And also they dig a huge place and then it's for the food bank and for the safety in case they will have the invader to attack them. People can run into it and then they hide inside. And then that would have a split floor to build a clinic and for those people that they need very much. And there was also a cave. There was a cave. It's for the retreat and church planting project. We can train people. Now, so we climb up the mountain, and then, you see that the safe house was down there in the valley. And I was there, and there was a huge cave. Those people went there before a couple decades ago to hide from Saddam Hussein, who used a chemical weapon to bomb these people in the villages. And there was a group. Why did we go up there mountain? Because that day, a group of ex-Muslim, but now they become a convert, they came to have a retreat there. And we sang the song, How Great Thou Art. I tell you, in all our different languages, including the Chinese, English, and their own language, I tell you that when those songs echoing in the valley and in the mountain top, it was a historical moment. You really feel the presence of God, that from all nations, all ethnic groups can come to worship God together. And then the next one, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. This means that, according to Romans chapter 8:11, it's the Holy Spirit who caused Jesus alive. Jesus didn't just rise up himself, but through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, came upon him. So this whole thing is talking about when we want to live out the great I am the resurrection and the life, is through the empowerment of Holy Spirit. You know, we had a privilege to raise up the dead, but there was an experience like this. Let me share with you. When we arrived at LAX airport, we find out that our flight, connecting flight from Istanbul to northern Iraq, was canceled. That was really a bad thing to know about that. But we still flew to Istanbul. Okay, that was our team one. And then we find out that we can get to the border city called Sharnak. So we went there. We flew there and find out that in that airport, there was only one airplane. That was our airplane, our plane, to get us there. And then we got into the bus and then crossed the border. And that was the driver. We got a really wonderful driver who got us through about 4 or 5 hours. Okay? And then I arrived at Kurdistan. They call Kurdistan because they claimed themselves independent. But then after a few days, there was another guy called Arthur. He was involved in the movie. And then after he finished the project, he came later. So I and Willie went through the border and then from Iraq back to Turkey and then pick him up and then from Turkey back to Iraq. And then we also want to be the guinea pig to test run whether we can get through by land. Because we get in now, we may have a problem, cannot get out. Because Turkey government really don't like the NGO, people like us, to go to help the Kurdistan people because that's what their enemy. Oh, that was very strange. So we saw there were so many cars there. The record, they told me, is 9 hours crossing. The longest time is from you leave your house until you reach your destiny will be 11 hours. The most severe problem is when you are on the bridge, there's no toilet. So you cannot go to pee. You better not to have a diarrhea that day. So we saw so many cars. We thought about, how about we walk? Then we pass through all these cars. So one guy able to be the translator help us. But he had no permit to get into another side, Turkey. So after he finished the Iraq side, he handed us over to this guy. He couldn't speak English. We couldn't speak the Turk. But he said, I'm willing, through the translator, to bring you through, saying, find you a taxi to get to the airport. So we follow this guy. Look at what he is carrying. By the time we get through the first checkpoint, we find out that he was a smuggler. He made use of us, America, America! All this stuff and put into our hands. And then it just so that, well, at that time, can we say no? We would say no. No one would help us to get the taxi to the airport, right? So we said, oh. Like that, and get out. And get out, wait. And then we get stuck in the second checkpoint, 1.5 hours. Those officers took our passport and everything, and then we're just waiting outside for 1.5 hours. Now I can tell you 1.5 hours. At that time, I didn't know how long it would take. It could be 3 hours. It could be a whole day. It could be get arrest. Or we would just like disappear in Turkey and say bye to you guys. And then at that moment, I was afraid. I really was afraid. And I started to pray, oh God, oh God, oh God. The famous prayer, the Vineyard prayer. Oh God, oh God, oh God, protect us. Then the Lord impressed me one thing. You don't pray this way here. If you pray for yourself for safety, you are still very self-centered. You're no different from other people, non-believers. If you want safety, you better stay in Los Angeles. By the time you come here, don't pray for your safety. I will protect you. But pray for these people. At that time, the impression came upon me then. I stand in this place. Then in the name of Jesus, I want to bless these people, whoever pass by. I declare the blessing and presence of God will come to this place, this area, that someday there's a revival. Now, I did not know at that moment whether God, how God answered or will God answer my prayer. But all I remember is the prophet Jonah used to did a work like that in that region called Nineveh. And God answered his prayer. This was God's business. But that day, I have a great learning, is that how we can go into a mission place but still live a self-centeredness lifestyle and praying for yourself. And the Lord said, don't do that. Just pray for these people. Well, later on, thank God that the guy get us to a so-called taxi and something like that. There were a few other people there. But the problem is by the time it reached halfway, somewhere in Turkey, they stopped and asked us to leave the car and asked us to go to another car. And a huge guy came in. And then Willie and I said, oh God, oh God, oh God. We could be get kidnapped. How much do we worth? And then at that moment, the Lord impressed me again. You guys worship God in the church, right? Why don't you worship me in the car? The same way as you worship God in the church. So I spoke in tongues. I worship God. At that moment, I felt like that. Like the disciple was in the boat with Jesus, but they ignored the presence of Jesus because they were so afraid because of the stormy sea. That moment, I recognized that actually Jesus has been with me. He loved me so much, but I wasn't aware of his presence. And I didn't exchange with him to say that, I love you, Jesus. You know, the first love will occur like this. Understand? Well, thank God that we arrived there safely and pick up our package called Arthur. By the time we return, we have another checkpoint. And then there was an armored car stop us. And then everybody came out. And there was at that moment, they asked us, why are you going back there to Iraq? We said that we are an NGO, medical team. Then they asked us one question. Ask me and Willie, show me your doctor ID. Well, I can show you my pastor ID. I cannot show you my doctor ID. We were really in serious trouble at that time. At that moment, a driver brought another load of people to arrive. And guess what? That was the driver. Remember? A few days ago, that driver brought us through the border, right? So he came. He saw us. And then he talked to those the police in the Turkish language. And the next minute, he said, okay, you can go. Well, thank God that this guy really paid us. I'll probably say that we are good people. I don't even understand what he talked about, but that doesn't matter. At least we can go, right? Now, I experienced a miracle. Even though it's not raising the dead, but I experienced a miracle. I find that God was so real. How could you find another driver that you don't know, and then suddenly at that time, without appointment, and then arrive at the same place, and he was good to us? Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's the way you experience God. He is the power. He is the one that able to raise the dead. But at the same time, when we get into trouble, he is the one to redeem us. Of course, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then this basically said, lead us to the discipleship. This means he's the way to lead us to become a Christian. But you continue to walk through it and then live out the truth, the biblical principle, until upon that you reach abundant life. The whole process has to do with discipleship. And a church, when we do the discipleship, action-oriented, practical, with a lot of practicum, we are actually living out the great I am, as I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I met this guy. This couple was the a dentist. You know, this guy was a really wonderful guy. You know why? He have done mission for 25 years. For the last 25 years, he brought his four children. Every year, whenever there was a vacation, went to do the mission. And then that day was a very special day because it was his 60th birthday. I took a picture with him. I said, I admire you. I wish my 60th birthday was a few months later, just like hitting this time. How many people have the honor and privilege to have your birthday, a significant birthday called 60th birthday, and it happened in the mission field? But strange enough, this man is a very rich man. All his children are dentists and a doctor. He's very rich, but never have a chance to go to Europe. Why? Because he spent all his vacation day in the mission field without having a chance to go to even Europe to enjoy his life. You got to admire people like this. And then this guy raised up a disciple. And this man called Arthur, that was the guy that picked up and caused such a trouble. He was involved into this movie, a digital or a technician or whatever. And so he came because of his mentor called, then it's called Anthony, raised him up through the Sunday school. So because of the testimony of this man, he came. Even that was a half, half of the journey he came. And this guy was very fun. You see, a lot of girls surrounding him. So he did all the children ministry. I mean, just by showing the post. And then the people just spent time with him. You know, I learned about the discipleship. It's not just a classroom setting, but it's just a lifestyle expression in a mission. Finally, Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branches that bear much fruit. John chapter 15, 5 to 10, he said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I mean him, he bears much fruit. He also said that if you keep my commandment, you abide in my love. And just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Brother and sister, viewer, if we want to maintain the first love, very simple. Just connect it with the vine and we are the branches. But what is the implication? It's the two generations ministry. You know, I have the honor that to meet my daughter in Istanbul. This is very funny. Inside the airport, the domestic, the transfer. And I received her and give her a hug. Because that was a team that we are about to go home and they are about to start their duty, their responsibility. I find out that if we connect to the vine, we need to become the branches that bear much fruit, the fruit including our next generation, that to do the same thing that God had called us to do. If this is good enough, if this is good news, let our second generation, our children, able to taste it and enjoy it. Because they also have the honor in the mission field to work together with the oldies, meaning that for 40, 50, and 60, and 70, and then learn life. And they went to the same cave that I was 2 weeks ago, stood in the same place that I took pictures 2 weeks ago, and then sang the songs over there with the ex-Muslim converts, and helping those people whom that only the younger generation can minister to, that we are oldies, that we are not that cutting edge able to reach out to them. And I'm so grateful to see our younger generation representing us to minister to them, even like someone that with the 1 year old daughter, able to serve on behalf of the VOH. This is really a privilege and honor. But seeing this, they minister to 80 students, 70 students, and children, and also 20 teenager, adolescent. But still, they need to turn away these 60 to 70 kids waiting outside the door because we just do not have enough manpower. Willie said that he was so sad. When I saw the picture, I was so sad too. But let me share with you this. Please forgive me a little longer this time. You know, God orchestrated the whole thing. By the time the second team is about to take off, and then America ran out in conflict with the Kurdistan, with the Turkey government, that they no longer release the visa. Inside our team number one, we have a big heat debate, whether we should allow the second team to come or not. Majority of them say that, no, we shouldn't allow them to come. In case anything happened, that would be bad for the Habibi International. And for me, as a pastor, if anything happened bad to our team, I have the responsibility in how I can report back to their parents. But at that time, I told them that a long time ago, I made a commitment. I said that, you know, in an Asian culture, normally the first generation make the decision for the second generation. But now, our second generation already grew up, 20-some years old, 30-some years old. I cannot be self-centered enough for the sake of protecting our VOH, the name, and then sacrifice their freedom that they are not able to have a choice to respond back to the calling of God. Or could be this is a moment for them to experience God's power so that they can have a leap of faith. So I said that let them make the choice. share with them all the pros and cons, all the dangers, and let them make the decision. I know that I was taking a risk, but I'm glad that ultimately, the political situation suddenly stood down. And then they came to the ceasefire, and even last Sunday, the president of this Kurdistan government, he announced to step down. He was the one to initiate this whole independence thing and causing all this kind of tension. And to me, God seems to me that God did a miracle and then calmed down the whole situation. But we have to honor Team 1, Team 2, and Team 3. Right at the where the news, the world news is about, we are in a cutting edge and we are involved. And this is the exchange, Team 2 and Team 3, that they met one another in Istanbul. And then later on, Team 3 arrived. And I'm really honored to say that I'm proud of Team 2 and Team 3. So I want to, in a closing chapter, I want to share with you, VOH or any church want to maintain a vibrancy. Keeping the first love of Jesus, we need to live up the great I am. Not just reading the Bible, knowing that there are 7 I am in the book of John, but let us become a Christian community that live out the great I am in our life. You know, in this incident, when we were there, a kid just jumped over the wall and then fell on the stony ground. And I thought that he was dying. Oh God, oh God, oh God. And I pray. And later on, brought him in. We pray and brought him to the doctor. And then he came out, okay. But the father scolded. Why do you come here and want to fight with us? So a lot of things that could discourage you. I'm not just presenting to you the good side. Just like this picture, I took the picture with them. But you know, my coworker told me, after that, they would tear all this picture apart and destroy it. Why? Well, because in their culture, they don't know about the order. They don't know about the beauty. They just want to destroy things. And then, is it worth it to make something like that to them? And also, seeing this kid, I didn't have a smiling face to take this picture because they were pocket pickers. And they want to steal the stuff from me. I took the picture with them as evidence these are the people want to steal my stuff. Or just like these people, after they received the service, some people didn't have a smiling face to you or say thank you. Did you feel like that you owe them? How come you keep me waiting for a long time? Huh? It caused me so much pain on my teeth. Lack of appreciation. Are you still going to serve them? Or just like these two guys? When I was sitting in Dr. Paul's office, these two guys came back. Why? Dr. Paul said that. They ran away. Dr. Paul spent a lot of time wanting to help them and raise them up. Then suddenly, they disappear. If you are the father, you really want to commit suicide, kill yourself and kill them. But that was Dr. Paul. After seeing them to come back, give him a hug. Lift them up, my son, my beloved. That's the Father's heart. That's living out the bread of life. That's called the light of the world. That's called the resurrection. That's called the gate. That's called the good shepherd. That's called the way, the truth, the life. That's called the vine and the branch. Isn't it? And I have honor to partner with this man. Viewers have an honor to partner with this ministry. Dr. Paul's ministry and Dr. Pastor Fidel. Pastor Fidel can leave the country for safety. All his siblings are here in the United States or in Germany. But he was the only person that stayed behind be the pastor to bless these people. I feel so honored to work with them. I want to close with this story. We've never been there. This was a UN camp. Just different from our camp because we couldn't go to UN camp because we are a Christian group. They didn't allow us to go there because they know that we were Christian. But somehow, through some connection, a small group, including me, were there. And there was a front door. And that was the inside, one of the classrooms. And this dentist, this was an Asian American, a Korean American. He worked there. And then he was his assistant. You know how big this camp? 30,000 people. Just like a small city in U.S. How many dentists? One. That Korean American. Can you believe? 30,000 people, only one dentist. Nearby city, there was 1,500 dentists, but they're all Muslim. They don't want to serve the Yazidi. Because the in the restaurant, you never see the Yazidi people there. Because the Muslim believe that if I eat the food made by the Yazidi people, we'll go to hell. Now, that was the mentality. So that's why the Muslim dentist will never go to this place except this doctor. But this doctor had been dead for two years. His church from Colorado never come to visit him because his church doesn't support the Iraq ministry. They support other ministry, but not this one. They were so alone. The wife have one baby and two older, maybe 8 years old, 6 years old, and the baby girl. She was thinking about to leave after 2 years. She was about to pack because so lonely. No help. And that moment, we arrive. And then we become his encourager. And then we gave him, by the time we left, we gave him about $1,000 worth of equipment and other things and medication. But instead of us just being his encourager, actually, he encouraged us. Don't you think so? See this great, great testimony. And of course, now he decided to stay at least for until we come back. And this is the evening of the camp and a beautiful scene. With that, I say goodbye to these people. With this, we went to the airport and we come home, back to Walnut. And I want to share with you, please forgive me today, I just go over time, a lot way over time. But don't just read the book of Acts. Please, be the act of Christ. When we do this, I believe then we will be a church able to keep the first love of Jesus Christ. And we will become a blessing, a resource center to bless other people. Together with other media churches in our area. Together with other churches, multi-ethnically, we can become a vibrant power to bless other people, both locally and globally. To God be the glory. Amen. And I invite all of you to come to stand together with us. And with these people, Dr. Paul, Pastor Fidel, and this Korean American dentist, and the local people. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this is our honor and privilege, able to serve others. But why us standing on this side of giving the food away or resource away? We could be the group of people that are on the receiving end. But since you bless us, I pray that your love that come pour over us would generalize, would become an energy, tremendous passion that causing us able to love those people. Even some of them may not appreciate us. Some of them may not be able to love us back. Some of them may even persecute us. But let this love persist, just as Jesus Christ. You persist to love us all the way onto the cross. You, this church, Lord, together with other vineyard churches, and together with other American churches in this land, we can bring forth tremendous impact to these people. Ultimately, seeing so many Yazidi people, Muslim people, to become Christian, to become the follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, bless this group here, Lord, and give us a lot of resources so that we can pour the resource to them. Bless the team three, while they are still there, and give them a fruitful ministry and smooth exit and back to us. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.